morning. So happy to have our guest, next guest on here, Dr. Michael Lake, the author of the Shinar Directive. The Shinar Directive. His website, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. That's KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. He's a great friend. He's a great author. The Shinar Directive is one of the most comprehensive books about Babylon and really about the way things played out. And it gives the reader not just insight and information about Babylon and the plains of Shinar, but it gives, in at least in my view, people insight about current events, because what they're trying to do is reconstruct the Tower of Babel, the one world order, the one world government.
Right on the back of the book, it talks about how it pertains to financial systems to enslave mankind, political systems to control nations, watcher technologies to empower their agenda, mind control, transhumanism, all things we see today. And it is a fantastic book, The Shinar Directive, Preparing the Way for the Son of Perdition.
And Dr. Michael Lake, to me, is one of the most intellectually, you know, just a great intellectual mind, a Bible scholar, and someone that I could listen to really all day long. Dr. Michael Lake, thanks for coming on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys tonight.
Well, so the pleasure is all ours, let me tell you. There's so much going on. We were just going through the headlines. Just going to give you an idea of the run-up to your appearance on the show. We were going over the headlines, the hot topics. Of course, we have riots in Charlotte, and riots expected, perhaps in Oklahoma. You've got the globalists pushing out kind of their last gasp before the change of power with the elections. Any commentary and anything you see going on right now that perhaps you've got some insight on or would like to comment on?
I think there's some desperation going on. I think God is getting ready to do some things, and the remnant have been praying and really pushing in and seeking the face of God. And, you know, they have their person that they want elected, and I think that they're going to do stuff if that person's elected, but I also think that they're going to try to retaliate if the other one gets elected because, not a part of the club. But at the same time, I've been hearing reports that Lindsey Williams shared that for the first time in quite a while that there was direct intervention, that God has stopped some of their plans. And this has probably been the first time in decades that they've actually seen the sovereign move of God. And I think it's the beginning of many sovereign moves of God that we're going to see. And so the enemy's going to pull out his stops and try everything they can do. But if we'll press into God and really seek to be led by the Holy Spirit, I think we're going to start seeing God begin to interject himself into American life again.
Hence the remnant, right? I mean, the development of the remnant. And you really are, you touch on this in your writings and in your talks. And this would be great. I mean, God's people, God's remnant. We folks, if you go to HagmanReport.com, this is kind of an aside, Dr. Lake. It's interesting because we have just a 2 or 3 minute, it is about a 3 minute video of Flip Benham at a Charlotte City Council meeting on July 30th of this year. And he came out and he told the Charlotte City Council that based on their votes, their advocacy for this transgenderism and the abortion clinics in the city, there would be blood on the streets. And Flip Benham said, there won't be enough police to protect your city. And it was an ominous warning to those who with ears to hear. The reason I brought that up right now is because everything to me, what you're speaking of, Dr. Lake, and what people are looking for is that spiritual connection to current events. And I think that you speak about that. And that from that is going to develop, is going to arise the remnant, the righteous remnant. So that, if anything, to me, that's the silver lining in the cloudy murkiness of the current events.
You know, one of the things that I've said for quite a while, I remember being raised Baptist, and you know, they always talk about, you know, we need to go to a Book of Acts church. And, you know, the Book of Acts church understood the power of the Holy Spirit. They understood our Hebraic heritage, but it was also a church that was under a type of persecution. And I think that we're already experiencing that to a great deal. And what the enemy doesn't count on is you put enough pressure on true believers and they start hitting their knees and seeking the face of God, and they quit playing church and they start being the church. And I think that's where we're at right now, is that we're on a precipice, or we're just on the very edge of moving into something of this end time ministry that is going to be so distinct and so powerful that the only way that we can even grid it is we're going to have to just add it on to the book of Acts, because it's going to be a continuation of what we see there in our day.
Yeah, very interesting. Dr. Lake, I know we have a number of things that you want to talk about tonight. You have somebody with you as well, and you also put together a special for the Hagman and Hagman listeners. I'm going to turn it over to you and let you start where you want to. We're talking about tonight with Michael Lake, the emerging of Remnant Ministries, folks. And he's bringing a guest on with him. And we're going to talk about a number of things. You want to start by explaining to the listeners about the deal you put together for your merchandise, books, and whatnot?
Yeah, what we've done for until now, until the end of October, if you go to our online store, which is store.biblical-life.com, you can pick up anything that you want, and if you enter the coupon code HagmanReport, you'll get 20% off the entire purchase. Now, what I'm also asking folks to do, because we've had a lot of folks, you know, that also go there to give donations, do the donations separate than you do when you're, you know, getting materials, because this code will take 20% off your donation too. And this kind of...
That's handy.
Whoops. I know there's a lot of people that would really like to get the materials, and this makes it just more affordable for them to do it.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you for that generous deal, and hope our listeners take advantage of that.
You know what? I'm going to buy another copy of the Shiner Directive. I am, because especially when I'm going to take 20% off. thank you for that generous offer. Indeed. So Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, go ahead and go to the store attached to that. You can get to the store from your website, right?
It's under resources.
Okay. All right. Good. So yeah, just go to Kingdom Intelligence Briefing. Click on the store link, and there, enter the coupon code HagmanReport for 20% off of your purchases, donations to the Kingdom Intelligence Briefing. Make those separately, because yeah, you don't want to shortchange Dr. Lake 20%. All right, sir.
And I think the most important thing is I've got my best friend in the world here with me today. I've got my wife in the studio with me, Mary Lou.
Hi, Doug.
Welcome, Mary Lou.
Mrs. Thanks. Dr. Lake.
It's such a privilege to be on your show, and I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you, and thank you both for all that you do to shine light into the darkness. You both are an answer to prayer for me. Years ago, I'd prayed, and I felt so alone as I was realizing what had happened, and I asked God to raise up mighty men of valor that would be courageous and report the truth, and I have no doubt that you all are a part of that answer. You know, it's because of you and men like Russ Dizdar that victims of satanic ritual abuse and mind control now have credible witnesses that can attest to the fact that these things exist. And I just want to thank you so much for that and for your book, Doug, Stained by Blood. I couldn't put it down.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that vote of confidence. You know, it's interesting how we get into things we don't really expect to get into, and that's a testament to, you know, accidentally stumbling into something I had no understanding of what it was at the time. But your story is a little bit different. And folks, Mrs. Lake is an author. Go ahead and talk about your book. I read your book, and it's a fabulous read. And go ahead and talk about your book, Mrs. Lake, because I think it would enrich people to have it.
Okay, I had written it because I wanted people to understand the journey of healing that I'd been on, and hopefully that it could help others. It outlines how I thought my only problem was depression. That was what I thought my struggle was, and it went from that to finding out that I had a great-grandmother in witchcraft, to finding out that we had a lot of occult activity in our town, to finding out that we were a mind control experiment town, and to find out that I was a victim of that. And so when I first wrote the book, the first part was just you know, given the incidents that happened. The second part, when I wrote the update, I put more incidents down connecting how I put the, you know, the dots together to come to the conclusion that I was a victim also.
Very interesting.
You know, and you poured your heart out in your book. I can't imagine finding out that, now, this wasn't just depression. This was a satanic attack. And folks, Mrs. Lake is a first-hand accounting of you know, how that all came about, how she recognized it, or how it was recognized, and what you did about it, and how you broke free from that, those satanic curses. Wow. Okay. Tell our audience, if you don't mind, that the title of your book again.
It's What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's in our library, folks, and it's a fascinating read.
What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know, by Mary Lou Lake. And folks, you can get that from KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com, as well as Amazon. And I have not had the pleasure of reading the book, but I've read passages and reviews from what you have written, and it seems like a very interesting book and very timely. What Witches Don't Want You to Know. And when we think about that, you know, what comes to mind about witches instantly is from Hillary Clinton to the Salem witch trials to the new regeneration of demons, witches, and whatnot that vampires that the TV has been promoting. And there's also been a new, the Satanic Temple headquarters has its new founding in Salem, Massachusetts, which was the spot for the Salem witch trials, which I found very interesting that was just announced this week. But this ties into the occult, into mind control experiments, and a lot of important issues that we cover here on the Hagman and Hagman Report with other guests as well.
Mary Lou, I mean, you know better than anyone that the satanic curses are real. What do you say about the, you know, what's your take on the establishment of the satanic church up in Mass, you know, Massachusetts?
Well, I think it's just they're becoming more overt with their activity. You know, used to, everything was hidden. And I told Russ Dizdar the other day when we were at a conference with him that what a wonderful job he had done of destroying the power of their secrecy. Because used to, they, you know, everything was hidden. And when anything's in darkness, Satan can always use that. But I think it's just a testimony of where we are in today's society and how it went from, you know, used to they would have like witchcraft in little cartoons and you know, just make fun of it and Bewitched and things like that. Now look at the progression where we've come to all of these like Harry Potter and all the things that are just very overt and have actual spells and things like that. So I think it's just another step of them proclaiming their dominion.
Exactly. Now, do you, and thank you for coming on a short notice, and I do want to, certainly we want to extend to you the ability to have you tell your story. I mean, do you feel up to telling people a little bit about what you went through? I mean, can you give them kind of what their appetite for the book? Because, you know, I when I read it, and then my wife read it too, and we were just astounded by the mechanisms under which many people are attacked. I mean, the modes and the methods by the Satanists, by the witches of today. These people are real, and the forces, the tools are real. Their actions are real. And many people might blow that off and say, oh, that's just stuff of TV, but it's not. So you've written a true story about the occult and mind control. But if you want to get into a little bit of your story, we'd be more than happy to listen. I'm we're getting a couple of emails saying, well, what's your story? You know, well, what's our story? So, you know, we'll toss it back to you and let you go.
Okay, well, I'll just start talking, and if you need me to break in, please.
Okay, all right.
Well, what happened with me is I didn't remember anything about the occult. I thought that I grew up in a very insignificant town. I only had 2 years in my life that I couldn't remember anything. It was third and fourth grade, absolutely wiped out. I can tell you my teachers because they were on my report cards, but those years were gone. And you'd think that I would have questioned that more, but honestly, I just thought, well, I don't know why I couldn't remember. I started experiencing a lot of depression in my teen years. It just consistently got worse, and even I thought when I got married that that would ease that up, because I'd married a wonderful man, he was a minister, and I thought, you know, that maybe that was what was wrong, as I was lonely or whatever. But it just continued to get worse. And so I had two beautiful daughters. There was no reason for that depression. So I just kind of put on a front face for everybody and just went on. And in 1993, the depression was so intense. I just didn't think I was going to be able to continue to function so well, because I was always functional. You know, I could make myself get out of the bed. I could do what I needed to do, but it was just, I felt like I had about 2 tons of weight on my shoulders. And so in 1993, I was more concerned about my husband and my kids. And I just went to God and said, God, you're almighty. Is there anything you can do to help me? And 20 days later, that depression totally left. And it was wonderful. It was the first time in my life I could ever read the Word of God. I used to get a horrible pain, pressure on the back of my head when I'd try, and I just couldn't keep it up. And for 8 months, I was like a sponge. It was just like, I guess my spirit was starved to death from all those years of not being able to read the Word. And so I just absorbed it. And I was trying to hear God's voice. I thought that was really important, that I try to hear His voice. So during that time, I learned my authority in Luke 10:19 over all the power of the enemy. I learned binding and loosing. I learned spiritual warfare. I learned to hear God's voice. It took me a long time because my head never shut up. And I thought that everybody's mind was like that. And I'll never forget one day when I talked to Mike and I said, Mike, I said, don't you come to conclusions by bantering back and forth in your head? Don't you talk things out in your head back and forth? And he said, never. And I thought, well, that's odd. And so I started down this road of trying to just, you know, figure out what was going on with me. At the time, during those, for 8 months, it was just blissful. I didn't have any depression. I didn't have any problems. Then in August of that same year, the depression came back. It came back worse than it was before. And I was so distraught. I thought, how in the world do you get that healing and then it leave? And so I was struggling for several months. Finally went outside, wrapped up in a blanket, and laid out in the on our picnic table in the backyard, and I was just going to stay there. And it was so cold, I remember my teeth were chattering. But I was just going to stay there till I heard God, because I had to know what happened. And I remember Him telling me, He said, Mary, you're under the influence of demons. And now this is going to sound really stupid, but I argued with Him. And I said, well, God, Christians can't have demons. And so I kept hearing the same thing. He said, now I've taught you my word. I've taught you how to fight. He said, you bind those demons, and I'll show you how to get rid of them. So I thought, well, I don't have anything to lose. And I said, I bind you, demons, in the name of Jesus. And I felt like I had a sledgehammer hit me in the back of the head. So I went in, had Mike pray for me. And that started a long process. I had a member of my family that I had went. God had showed me either a vision or a memory. And He said, now, don't tell this person what you've seen. You just go and pray with them, and they're going to confirm this to you. And it was this person laying on a slab, this member of my family. There was our family doctor in a black robe behind this slab with other people in robes, and then over to the side was my great-grandmother and my great-aunt in plain clothing. That's all I saw. So I prayed with Mike. We bound up Satan that he couldn't show me anything false, because I'm thinking there's no way this could have happened. This looks like occult stuff. I don't remember any of this. So I went to this person in my family, And I said, I'm just going to pray with you. And so they grabbed me, and they said that this great-grandmother of mine was a witch, and they used them in a ritual, and they started describing their little Easter dress. So, you know, I was stunned. I went back home. After a while, I returned home. I said, told my husband, you aren't going to believe this. And he said, well, you need two witnesses. You need to go talk to your dad, because that was his grandmother. So the next morning I got up, went and talked to my dad, and I said, now, Dad, this person said that Granny is a witch. Do you remember anything? And he just busted out in tears and said, maybe I don't want to remember. And I'm thinking, oh, no, there's something to this. Then he was real worried people were going to put me in an insane asylum. So I went back, and that just started a journey of me praying. And once I started asking forgiveness for the sins of witchcraft on my family and things like that, the depression was totally gone. It has never come back. I've had times when I'm sad because there was a sad situation, but never the depression again. So I was so thankful that, you know, I got the relief from that. And then it went from that to one fall, I was just sitting and praying like I always did in the evenings, and I heard God speak so clearly to me. He said that there were people that were in the area where I lived that served Satan, that were getting ready to defile the Feast of Tabernacles. And I had read the whole Bible, but I was trying to think, okay, where's the Feast of Tabernacles talked about? And I heard Leviticus 23. So I went inside, got my Bible, opened it up, and there it was. It said it was the 15th month of the, or 7th month, 15th day of the 7th month. So I asked Mike, I said, how do I find out what that day is? He looked on a Jewish calendar, and it was the coming weekend. So God told me to pray that they'd get nothing done. I did all weekend. I was just praying the whole week leading up to that weekend. Then that weekend is when I describe in my book that we had left our Sunday service. We're sitting at a store, and I'd had people invited over to my house because I wanted to have them pray with me. We were going to have a prayer meeting all day just to ensure that, you know, nothing was accomplished by those that are in the occult. And I looked up, and these cars started pulling up. And I started getting this feeling in my stomach, like, man, there's something wrong. And this woman I had went to school with came up and jerked open the door where Mike had went into the store. So she jerked open the driver's door. And she said, where are you going, Mary? And I said, you know where I'm going. And so she manifested a demon. And I don't know if I saw the demon or if she actually transfigured into this thing, but her tongue was sticking out, and she's hissed, and she, like, her hands turned in claws, and she was climbing across that seat. So I took my seatbelt off because I thought, you know, I got kids in here, so I thought I may have to manhandle her, you know. And so anyway, I ended up, I was praying, saying, God, tell me what to do. And I said, I love you, but stop what you're doing or you're going to be destroyed. And so when I said that, she just kind of wilted down, crawled back out, started speaking in a different language, and walked off. And from there on, guys, it was just one attack after another. I mean, I was so shocked because I didn't realize that we had that much occult activity there. And obviously it had been hidden, but it really shocked me. So we went, we just continued on. God kept showing us more things, and it escalated from what I thought was okay. You know, we're just in a community, we have a lot of occult activity. No big deal, we'll pray, we'll go on. And then it went from that incident to everybody in our town just like they lost their minds or something. And they started giving, like, I'd walk up to somebody, I walked up to a person in my family, and I was just going to start talking to them, and they turned and they just looked like they were in a trance, and they said, we're the cog in the center of the wheel. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? And they said it again, you know. And so then the next, just that next weekend, on the Monday after that, another woman came to my house. She looked like she's half dead, and she started telling me about that she'd been in the occult, and she grabbed a piece of paper and she drew this circle, and she said, we're in the center of the wheel. And I thought, what are they talking about? And this woman happened to be in an occult family that lived on the river where I was downstream, raised close to that river. But I never remember anybody telling me that there were Indian mounds up there. And I guess the land that her family owned, there were Indian mounds there. And I thought, well, that'd be something that Steve Quayle would probably be interested in. But anyway, she told me about all these rituals. She told me some of the most horrendous stories. I mean, my hair was standing on end. And I just thought, surely this can't be true. But everything she told me, I had other confirming information that it was true. And it was blowing my mind. And so we went from that kind of activity to where that I think they were just so confident, they were so arrogant they were going to kill my family, that they were just so arrogant. Like, I'd say something to somebody that I could tell was, walking by doing a curse or something, and they just arrogantly say, you're gone. We've got you. There's no way you're going to survive. And as it just escalated to where, like, they had to stop trying to use the people there, because I think they're kind of small potatoes in the whole big scheme of thing.
You're not the only one. Even our JD, he is our creative evangelist who works with us, talks about evil manifesting through people in front of him in Miami. And we've heard similar experiences from other people who see it happening right in their faces, almost like they're being targeted. With that, we are up against the top of the we're up against a break. And you mentioned the mounds. There's a very important significance to those mounds. But when we come back, we're going to pick up right where we left off. We're talking with Mary Lou Lake, wife of Dr. Michael Lake. Her book is What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know. We'll be right back with both of them right after this.
Dr. Michael Lake, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. That's KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. Dr. Michael Lake and his wife, Mary Lou Lake. Dr. Michael Lake, author of The Shinar Directive, and next month, The Sharif Imperative. Both books, just fantastic. Had the opportunity to read both. The advance on The Sharif Imperative. It's just, folks, there's so much information and knowledge out there. And so little time, definitely worth your time. And Mary Lou Lake, just so pleased to have her, kind of a surprise, can you come on to talk about your book and your experiences? Her book is What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know, expanded edition. Here it is right here, folks. This is the book. I've got it in my hands right here. Did read it, and I recommend this because this will give you an understanding of what's really going on out there in terms of the occult and how we're affected by the witches. And this is not like television. This is far worse than that. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to ask you guys a question. Are you ready just to take a time out, an adult time out? You want to get your tootsies and some white sand? Get some sun. Eric's over there saying, oh, yeah, send me. We found this amazing getaway at an amazing price, folks. You can't beat this. It's the Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Right now, for our listeners, for $99 per person per night, you can enjoy an adults-only, and by that I mean 16 and above, an adults-only inclusive holiday getaway on a white sandy beach. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. Or you can call 800-772-8711. That's to make your reservation. But to check it out, go to pineapplebeachclub.com or go to hagmanreport.com and click on the link. You'll see a pineapple there. You'll see it. Let me tell you a little bit more real quick about the resort and the island. Did you know that there are on site there are 5 different restaurants: the Tranquility Spa, 2 freshwater pools, windsurfing, snorkeling, kayaking, sailing, so much more than that. And for that $99, what do you get? Well, it's all inclusive: your meals, snacks, beverages, yes, even the alcohol. Have a glass of wine with dinner. When's the last time you and your beloved had a glass of wine, sipped a glass of wine with dinner as you overlook the beaches and the tranquil area? I mean, wow, that just sounds so good right now, doesn't it? It's 30 minutes from the airport in the capital city, St. John's. The resort encompasses some 30 acres of tropical foliage and wild blooms. I mean, you can just, can you take a breath? Can you smell the fragrance of the flowers? Can you hear the sounds of the ocean? Oh, how about the food? Oh, the food. What a great getaway. And Antigua, for those people who really don't know, you know, where Antigua is. Oh, I've heard of it, but I could never afford it, so I didn't pay attention. Well, now you can afford it at $99 per person per night. It's located in the Caribbean. It's the largest English-speaking leeward island. They're known for their magnificent weather, white sand, pristine beaches, colorful cultural festivities. 365 beaches on the island, one for every day of the year if you want to stay, and I'm sure you might. But if you're, when you're ready to leave the chaos behind you, get some well-deserved R&R, don't wait. This offer expires soon. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. Or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive holiday. Again, that's less than $100 a person per night. See the website for complete details. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. Our guest again, Dr. Michael Lake, Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, and his wife, Mary Lou Lake. Mary Lou was talking about her experience with the occult, with witches, with her personal, up close and personal experience. And it's, folks, take a listen to this because it's something. Thanks for holding over, both of you. And Mary Lou, go ahead and continue because this is an amazing thing. And Joe has mentioned before the break, the mounds, you know, all of these occultish, I don't know, what would you call them? The presence, the tools of the Satanists out there. People don't really understand what they are. But Mary Lou, go ahead. Continue.
Well, when the woman was telling me about these Indian mounds, which was so bizarre, guys, because I had been to that river like numerous times when I was a kid. We'd play on the sandbar. We'd go fishing. And the only thing I had seen that was strange or I thought was odd was there was a spring that came up in there called Boiling Springs, and there was a statue of Mother Mary up in the cliff. And I'd seen that, but nobody had ever, unless I just blocked it, nobody had ever mentioned Indian mounds to me. So when that was told, that kind of caught my attention. And she would, you know, her family, she told me that the reason that I can tell a lot about this particular person is because I really do believe that they're safe. And a lot of their family that would have been a danger to her have passed away. And so I can tell more of what she said. And she would tell me how her family had always been in the occult, how her mother, who had worked at the Fort Leonard Wood Hospital, had helped a doctor in that area get babies out of the area. So it, you know, as we progressed on, and they just kept sending in more people into our little congregation there. One of the people that came in told me that they were my son, and so I went back to her after that, and I said, "You had told me that, you know, people had had babies here, and the babies were taken." And I said, "Do you think I'm one of those people?" And she, before she could talk, her daughter turned around. She said, "Oh, you were a surrogate." And I said, "What do you mean I was a surrogate?" And she said, "Well, I was more on the psychic end of it. I don't know that much about it." Mm-hmm. Then her mom was telling her, you know, "Don't talk. Don't say anything else." So I never did have any more conversations with her after that. I did confirm her mom did work at the Fort Leonard Wood Hospital. And so I still to this day don't know the answer to that. You know, when all these things started coming up and people started telling us things, Mike started doing research. I tried to do it, but every time I'd start reading it, I guess it was just hitting these places in my mind that were blocked, and I'd literally get sick to my stomach. I couldn't read much. So he did a lot of research for me, and what started happening with me is I just started having memories come up. And so I would just tell him, and I'd tell him the memory, and then I'd say, "Now, there's no way this happened to me, but I'm going to tell you what I think this memory is." And so he helped me so much on that. And then I finally got to the place, I'd prayed enough and got enough healing I could read for myself, and it became so apparent that I was in the middle of a mind-control town, and many people there were affected just like me. And it extended to Fort Leonard Wood, and it extended to other towns in the area. It's almost like it was a 30-mile radius around Fort Leonard would seem to be what was affected, and I guess that made sense because if they had occult activity going on at that base, they would need the people that were going to come from the area to be civilian employees to be controlled. And that made a lot of sense to me. And from that point on, I was able to put a whole bunch of pieces together.
Mary Lou, if I can just interject something here. You were talking about the military base, and you earlier mentioned Russ Dizdar. I had no idea that, and people might be surprised to hear this, listeners might be surprised to hear this, that the military bases, the military occult programs, there are, and I've gotten emails after different shows we've done where people say, the occult programs on the military bases or by the military, oh, that's under the mind control. That's overblown, it's overhyped, and it's past. It's past tense. But it's really not. After talking with Russ and seeing some of the stuff Russ had, and Russ was doing, and up close and personal experiences with Russ's team, and reading what you wrote, the activity is current, and it's not abating, but it seems to be getting more sinister.
I certainly believe it's continuing based on some information that I received lately. I also did get a phone call from a woman in another state whose husband has been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, and they believe mind control. And he was also stationed as an officer at Fort Leonard Wood in a very, very strategic position. And so I have got confirmation. I had another person from the town that I lived in came and talked to me, and she remembered her family being in the occult. Now, I couldn't remember a thing. You know, in our family, I think this great-grandmother that was a witch was like a country witch. I don't think this was a powerful witch. I just think she got hooked into the people that were interested in finding those ancestral lines, because if you had incest in your family, if you had Freemasonry, if you had Cherokee Indian blood, those were qualifiers that they were looking for, because that meant you were going to be more dissociative and you would be a good candidate. And so as time went on, it became so evident, because this is what I asked God, guys. I just couldn't believe it, especially with the memories that I was having, because they involved military things. They involved, like, I started noticing when we were under attack, I would get on what I told my husband would be like, I'd be like on alert status is what I'd call it. And I would tell him there's something going on. And then this is an example of what would happen. Now, is this real or was this a script in my mind? I don't know. I honestly don't. But this is what would happen. I would see a laser dot form. The dot would extend to the north and the south, and then it would go to the east and the west, and it would form a barrier. And I was, I heard in my head that there was a compression of molecules, and then that was forming a barrier that even if there was like someone there that was attacking us, they couldn't get through that. Now, I know how insane that sounds. It sounded that to me. But I just put it in my little checklist of odd things, and I went on. And then the more that I went on, I'll even tell you of a more bizarre thing that my parts would come up and talk. The only person in the world they trusted was Mike, and so the different personalities that I had in the back would come up and talk to him. And to show you that I just wasn't buying into this whole thing, one of my parts would come and start talking about military things, and I'd jump in the middle of that conversation. I'd say, Mike, pray for me. I don't think this is right. I think this is a lion spirit. I think something's wrong. I said, look at my eyes and make sure I'm not manifesting something. And it took me a long time to believe that this could be real. I just couldn't grasp it. And so when this part started coming up and talking about that they had been made an Iron Man, and what was in this memory, now this could be a script, it could be totally unrealistic, and it could be something that they just placed in my mind, but this is the way the script went, and this was, it seemed like a memory to me. They had me sitting in a chair, and I'm hooked to this chair, and it's electroshocking. And the first thing that they put the people in that were being tested for this is they put us inside like a cardboard box, an entire cardboard box, and you were electroshocked until you could burn your way out of that box. And if my memory's right, if this is a real memory, there were many, they just couldn't do it. They died. They couldn't come out of this box. And it went in a sequence. If you could come out of the paper box, which there were few, they put you in a wood box, and you had to burn your way out of that. Then if you could come out of the wood box, they put you in like a concrete cement-type box, and you had to burn your way out of that. And then if you could come out of the steel box, they called you an Iron Man, and you were a weapon. And now, do I know if that's real? No, I don't. I sure don't. Is it a script they just put in there, like for misinformation or to make you sound crazy? I don't know. But I can tell you that when those Iron Man movies came out, this was years before the Iron Man movies came out, there was something in that triggering to me. So I don't know if that was just a script that was to be triggered later on. I don't know. But that's the kind of stuff that was in my head. Now, did somebody just put it there for a nefarious reason they were using? I can't tell anybody. I would never ever hurt somebody. I had another memory I had, and this was when I would have been younger. And I had a memory that there was somebody teaching me how to put energy through the palm of my hand. And it was for the purpose of defending against an attacking German Shepherd. I knew exactly how to come up under that German Shepherd's chin to break its neck. And I'm thinking, this is the craziest stuff. And I remember telling Mike, I said, Mike, I've got this memory in my head. And I said, there's no way this could be real. No way. I said, I was never around a German Shepherd. I said, I only remember seeing one. We had coon dogs. We had mutts. So then, quite a while after that, I don't know the exact time period, but I read an obituary in the paper, and this one of the substitute bus drivers that I was absolutely terrified of. I mean, my knees would knock together when I'd look up and see he was a bus driver. Raised German Shepherds. And so it's like every time that I would think, there's no way. Because, see, my mom was one of the most protective moms on the earth. And she wouldn't let me out of her sight. So all this time I'm telling my husband, listen, there's nobody got me. There's nobody could have done this to me. My mom wouldn't have let me out of her sight. And, you know, as time went on, it was very apparent. Both my parents were victims, too. And they would have had no way to fight this. Do I know what memories are real? I wouldn't bet the bank on any of them. I do think some of them are real simply because I've prayed so hard. And I've asked God to not let us get in error, to show us truth. And Mike, you can testify of one time after another, he would prove this to us, wouldn't he?
He would. You know, when I served in the military, even though I was just admin, I served at the command level. And so I was privy to, you know, operational, you know, SOP, whether it's spec ops or whatever. And where she was working as a secretary for the government, it was a battalion where they trained trainees, basic training. So she wouldn't have had any way of knowing of this stuff. And she'd have military parts come up telling me specific operational procedures for special operations and I'm thinking, you know, I've heard this before, but when I was hearing it was coming out of the mouth of special forces. And just over and over again, God proved to us either out of our own knowledge or our people in the area. We had one person that we had known that he had worked with the FBI and a lot of different organizations that, you know, went by three letters, that he investigated ritual abuse, satanic ritual abuse all across the nation. And he told us the area around Fort Leonard Wood is known as the Crystal Cauldron. And there's only a few of those across the nation. And it's literally where, even though you'll have in the occult, you'll have neo-Nazis and the KKK, they don't get along with Wiccans because Wiccans are bisexual. And so there's this conflict that's always with them. But in a cauldron, there is a higher council that's orchestrating all of them, and they'll work together for a standardized purpose. And that's what we saw. I mean, it was like one week we would have witches come after us. The next week it'd be another group, and then another group, and then another group.
It's hard to determine what was going on. You know, you just saw a big mishmash of everything. And that's what became clear, is this: it was much bigger than what we could have ever imagined. You know, it wasn't just a small group. It grew and it grew, and to what we now know, heads this up is the Luciferian elite. They actually have a name. I know. And actually, there were so many things we saw that we had no clue what it even meant until we read Rustin Starr's book. Yeah. When he talked about the Black Awakening and the black uniforms, where they called themselves the Chosen Ones, and then all of a sudden I thought, oh my goodness, that's what we were seeing. We just didn't know.
Because we had someone come in that said that we're chosen. When I'm thinking, is that something we're, kind of an offshoot of a Sanger, kind of like the opposite of the Children of Israel type of thing? We had no idea about the Black Awakening.
Right.
And so when we got a hold of Russ's materials, it really, really filled in the blanks
for
us.
It did, because I had no clue what we were looking at.
That's stunning. Although we know about this, we knew about this. To hear it firsthand from you, and to see how all of this is fitting together with Russ Dizdar and yourselves, and this is something. Okay, wow.
Well, what's kind of blown me away, because I kind of keep track of all the sales and everything else, and I began to watch. On Mary's book, she'll sell one here, one there, and here probably about a year ago, almost every single month, there'll be one person on Amazon will buy 15 copies, 25 copies, and I can see a distributor buying those, but why is an individual? And so I did some research, and I was able to contact Amazon. One of them I was able to actually contact, and what we discovered is these people had infiltrated churches, destroyed a church. And so some of the people that were kind of left got a hold of Mary's book and started connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. And so now they're saying, we're gonna rebuild our church, but all those that are going to be members of this new church are going to read her book so that we know what the enemy's doing, so that we can make sure that doesn't happen again.
Do you both see this happening on a national level? I mean, you experienced this obviously personally. You saw it happen on a local level. I've been reading in different forums, especially with Hillary Clinton displaying such bizarre physical signs. Some say that she's demon possessed. But without regard to that, do you see what you experienced and saw witnessed on a local level? Do you see this kind of taking place on a national level? In a way,
I definitely think that the occult infiltration of the church is why we've seen such a move away from the truth. It's so concerning to me. Like when you have people that say, "Well, it doesn't matter if you sin anymore because Jesus paid the price, and so you can just go do what you want to," and that's the opposite of what I'm trying to tell people if they want to get safe. Because if you want to be a target for a witch, opening the door to sin it gives them the right of way to just tear you apart. When I first understood it, and I got a grasp on, okay, so they've taken us, they've formed personalities that we don't even know are there. I used to call mine moods. I can look back now and see, oh my goodness, that was that personality that was I was co-conscious with, and that's why I was acting that way, that's why I was doing this. And so when I finally got it and I understood what they'd done, and I did some research on, how are they ministering to these people, and how are they, and I got so discouraged, guys, because they'd say, well, you have to do this, and you're going to be lucky in 10 or 15 years if you get this done. And I just thought, this makes God look small. And this is the way that I approached it, is I thought, okay, I can't connect to anything that is a witch that they formed in me, or, if there's a soldier back there, I don't know what they put in me, but this is what I do know, is God had taught me that I have authority. So I took authority over my body, over my mind, and I said, I'll tell you what, if there's a witch back there, you're bowing your knee. If there's a soldier back there, then you're going to bow your knee to Jesus. And my body's not going to be taken anywhere. I'm not going to be used by the enemy because you're going to bow your knee. And so I used that approach, and with that, and with the deliverance that I was going through, because God took me through just one deliverance after another. He had me deal with the Jezebel spirit. He had me deal with the spirit of Antichrist. He was just had me on a fast track to healing. And so I went through all those things, and I came to the conclusion that we don't have to put up with this. Now, God did prove to me that I was programmed in several different ways, and I'll tell you one way that he did, because this is a warning to people to be very careful who they ask to be like a counselor or somebody to lead them through this. I never went to a counselor, but once we had the people in the occult come in, we had a woman from a different city contact us and said she'd worked with this. So we would pay her to come down just to counsel with these people because I didn't have a clue. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, okay, this may be me. And I wasn't convinced at that point, but I just watched how she counseled these people. Well, one day, she came down and she said, she was counseling with this person, and I was sitting there watching, and she said, take this word, and the word was drone, and she had me assign numbers to each one of the letters, like D was 4, R, you know, down the line. Then she had me hand her that paper, and as she read that code, I heard in my mind the sixth seal just opened, and so I told her that, and she said, she went, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I thought, what in the world? And so I didn't know then because I hadn't done the research, Mike had, but I read later in programming, if one of those seals that they put in end time programming of revelation comes open, you're in big, big trouble. So she didn't know that. I mean, obviously she didn't, or I later was able to put together, she was a program multiple herself. Now, I believe that she had a good heart. She was trying to help people, but I don't think she knew she was programmed any more than I had known I was. And so when I got home that night after this little counseling thing I watched, I woke up in the middle of the night and felt like I was spread eagle in a star, trapped in this star, floating into my living room. Now, I'm sure I walked, but I felt like I was trapped in a star. So when I get to the living room, I get out of my mouth, Jesus. And the minute I said his name, the star broke. I went back in my bedroom, and I had what's called an internal earthquake. And if you ever have one of those things, you have like a adrenaline release like nothing you've ever seen, and you will shake from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. So as time went on, I was able to recognize, you know, these people are everywhere. They're in churches. Some of them are pastors. Some of them are worship leaders. Some of them are counselors. And so, you know, this whole time, I'm focusing more in on, I trust my husband, and that's about the only person I trust. But we learned so much during all this time. And what my goal was this, is I was determined that I was not going to be used as a weapon against other people, no matter what. That was my goal personally, and to be completely healed where my mind was, you know, totally following the Holy Spirit. And then my other goal was I was going to try to warn the churches because these people were coming in telling us, oh, we did this, we did that. And I looked at this stuff, and I thought, they're tearing these people apart. They're going in churches. Those people don't know that they're there. They're putting them in positions of leadership. They're causing divorce. They're causing pastors to die. They're causing them to get in car wrecks. And everybody thinks there's nothing to witchcraft. And so that was part of the reason I wrote my book, is I thought, I got to warn some people.
You know, we could add right here that we were probably the first ministers they had ever seen that they could neither kill, destroy, or bankrupt, or whatever.
In that area.
And in that area.
I'm sure.
And so we were an anomaly. And and I can add, when she came out, you know, I wish I could say, you know, I, back then I'm the man of God I was. Now I wasn't. I told Mary, I said, you know, somewhere along the line between them trying to kill us and us pressing into God, the old Mike Lake died, and I sure like the new Mike Lake that we have now.
Amen. Dr. Lake, we're up against the top of the hour break. If you could hold that thought, we will pick up right there on the other side. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Lake on this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report, along with his wife, Mary Lou. We'll be right back.